course, this is affecting the entire nation, Jim. Coast to coast evacuations have been ordered at the UN in New York, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and of course, Seattle's Space Needle is shut down for the day. There are also lockdowns at military bases, and of course, extra guards at our nuclear supplies and at our germ warfare sites across the country.
And we know that this is affecting people around the world. As we said a few moments ago, many of the foreign exchange banks and money lenders were in the world.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York City. This is WABC New York and 1050 ESPN New York WEVD New York.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick.
As soon as he got hit, I was thrown to a window. So I was very lucky to get out. There's a lot of people that didn't get out. There's a lot of people coming down the stairs burnt up.
Today will go down in history as one of America's darkest days. Horrible disasters in New York City and Washington. Terrorist attacks. Planes crashing into New York's World Trade Center towers, which have collapsed, crumbled. Then another plane crashed into the Pentagon. And another jet has crashed in western Pennsylvania. Let's go live to ABC's Bill Greenwood in Washington. Bill.
Doug, both planes that hit the World Trade Center apparently were American Airlines jets. Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles and Flight 77 apparently hijacked from Washington, Dulles to Los Angeles. Minutes after the crashes, shortly after 10 a.m., the first World Trade Tower collapsed. 28 minutes later, the second tower went down. Police sealed off much of Lower Manhattan. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani said the loss of life will be horrific. About the same time, here in Washington, an aircraft crashed into the west side of the Pentagon. All major federal buildings, museums, and monuments were closed, and heavily armed police were deployed around major government buildings, including the White House and Capitol. All federal workers have been sent home, and the FAA has banned all takeoffs from U.S. airports. The Joint Congressional leadership has been moved to a safe, secret location, and several congressmen are calling this the worst act of aggression since Pearl Harbor. Doug?
Thanks, Bill. Security tightened around the country. ABC's John Bascom on the streets of the nation's capital. John?
Doug, the Secret Service wearing flak jackets has cleared the streets for two and three blocks around the White House. Some of them are carrying machine guns. The only sound you can hear now in downtown Washington near the White House is that of a military fighter jet circling slowly in the airspace over the White House. Doug?
ABC's John Bascom live from near the White House. More coming up in moments. Doug Limerick, you're listening to ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
The World Trade Center's twin towers have been brought down by a pair of terrorist attacks. New York's mayor says there could be a horrendous number of people dead. So far, they have confirmed 165 people dead in the World Trade Center. Planes were flown into the towers this morning. Both were American Airlines planes. Both had been hijacked. Tens of thousands of people work in those buildings, of course. A witness says he saw bodies falling from the Trade Center. Dazed workers have been led from the buildings. Nearby people have been standing in shock and in tears. President Bush calling the attacks a national tragedy. WABC's George Weber is in Lower Manhattan now. He is near the Williamsburg Bridge with this report. George.
Yeah, actually, Bruce, I'm standing right now on the span of the Manhattan Bridge, and it is the most amazing scene. One way of traffic that is going from Brooklyn into the city is being used for emergency vehicles, and there is one after another speeding into the city, into Manhattan, and then tens of thousands of office workers now flooding over the lanes coming from Manhattan into Brooklyn as far as the eye can see. And they are just at a brisk pace, just trying to get as far away from Manhattan as they possibly can. Many of these people telling me that they just left work on their own. Some were told just to go home. Many of them were working in the lower downtown area and were evacuated by the police department and by firefighters. And again, a lot of people abandoning their vehicles in the city, and a lot of others are unable to take subways. Certainly there are probably people still making their way out of the subway tunnels. New Jersey Transit is shut down. And as I look now onto the FDR and to the BQE, those highways have been set aside for emergency vehicles, and one after another, they're piling in to Manhattan.
George, is there a sense of panic, or is it pretty well organized?
No, it's very well organized, but still you see tears in the eyes of a lot of people. Some people who are right near the site still have bandanas or handkerchiefs over their face, because as they walk now into Brooklyn, that giant plume of smoke and debris is now over Brooklyn and kind of hovering over it, so making some precautions to take it over here. But no, it's a slow and orderly, very casual kind of thing. No sense of urgency, but certainly they are being rushed out of the city, and that was the experience I had as I was trying to make my way farther south. They kept on pushing me farther north.
George Weber reporting live from Lower Manhattan. Thank you very much, George. Now some reports from Don Gould. Don has been out talking to people in the Midtown area.
It's been a little rough, especially with the situation with people in panic, and they don't know exactly what to do. But we're trying to do the best we can to provide service where possible.
Have you noticed any passengers getting on with very worried looks?
Oh, a lot of them. And even the people walking in the streets are very worried.
This is Don Gould for 77 WABC Radio. Can you tell us about your thoughts this morning and with the terrorist attacks in Washington, New York, and other places?
I just don't want to speak.
How about you, sir?
No comment. No thanks.
That's Don Gould on the streets of Manhattan this morning. The U.S.-Mexican border, we're now told, has been closed both directions.
Do we think it was Mexicans, Bruce?
I don't think
it was Mexicans.
Okay. Can't be. You never can be too cautious.
By the way, the question I have, it's an hour flight from Boston to New York, about an hour and a half D.C. to New York. Apparently, the FAA was aware, I would think, that both the planes of American Airlines had been hijacked at that point.
Yeah, Flight 77 was Boston to Los Angeles. You're absolutely right, Curtis, and I was thinking exactly the same thing when I was handed this official, the Boeing 757 scheduled to run between Washington, Dulles, and Los Angeles. They were both of those planes were lost, but you're absolutely right. They would have had to have been tracked. They would have had a flight plan, and once they diverged from those flight plans, the FAA would have known exactly that there was a problem.
Yes. So let me just update you on what we're doing right now for many fans of Rush Limbaugh tuning in to WABC to hear him right now. We will continue with our continuous coverage here on WABC. Rush Limbaugh is not on the air today. He was not able to get to the studio. He's fine. So we're going to continue our coverage here. We'll be going nonstop as long as we deem it necessary. We have talked to Sean Hannity, and he will be on at his regular time at 3 o'clock today and maybe even a little sooner. We're getting him to a studio out on Long Island. He was obviously, like many of you, unable to get across the bridges or the tunnels to Manhattan. So Sean is fine, and he's going to be on the air at 3, and we'll continue our coverage throughout afternoon. And as long as necessary, we have to start thinking now about other things being canceled, like the Yankee game tonight and other things. The performance venues and offices, schools, and plazas of the Lincoln Center have been evacuated, and the staff and students and buildings there closed. So that's just one that came into the newsroom. There are so many coming in now of cancellations and things tonight that I just think everybody has to assume anything on Manhattan is going to get canceled.
We might add the election has been canceled.
Of course. Well, that's we mentioned that earlier, but yeah. Again, goes we should mention that again, yeah. Because those of you who might have wanted to vote today, that will have to be rescheduled.
An announcement too, Phil. Police, fire, EMS, and 911 personnel are ordered to report for duty.
I assume they probably knew that, absolutely that has to get
an announcement just in.
You know, as far as the hospitals are concerned, they are taking blood donations, and we did have a number earlier from the Red Cross that we could give out. Now, it looks like maybe I lost that number, the Red Cross number. Wait a minute. I've got it. 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. So if you want to give blood, even those of you in New Jersey and Long Island, if you want to give blood, you can schedule an appointment. They'll schedule you with a hospital near you, 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. You can also go to the hospital nearest you. We had a number that we gave earlier for St. Vincent's Hospital. That hospital is full with injured victims from the World Trade Center. And if you think that your loved one might be there or at any hospital here in New York, there is a number to call. And I apologize that I'm sure it's busy much of the time, 212-604-7285. That is the hospital emergency number. Right.
There's no reliable estimates at this time as to the number of casualties, the number of people injured, or the
not
number
at all.
Of people
we
killed.
We know hundreds, but beyond that, how can you speculate?
Right.
It could be thousands, and we may not know for days.
Right. It's been estimated that 10,000 people work in each of the two Trade Center buildings. Not at all clear how many people were in the buildings at the time, how many people got out.
Well, interesting, though, because of the blast in 1993, that building goes through more drills, emergency drills, in which people from the 100th floor right on down to the first floor have to immediately evacuate. We from time to time here, Phil, we've had to sort of all pile out into the hallways.
Yes, we have.
We take it with a grain of salt. A lot of people snicker. We don't think it's all that serious. But in the World Trade Center, they know how serious it is. So if there is any building where people are primed to know exactly where to go if there's an emergency, that's definitely both towers of the World Trade Center.
And we know for certain that after the first strike at the first building, a substantial number of people did get out of that building, because we actually heard our own Channel 7 WABC Eyewitness News coverage talking to one of the people who got out of the building before.
And I think John had mentioned, knowing many people, as we all do, who work in the World Trade Center, that some of those folks had actually reported to be safe and sound, but on the New Jersey side,
yes,
which would mean they probably went through the path tunnels, which lead right underneath the World Trade Center, and possibly were led out to their safety. Maybe they turned the third rail off and just led, you know, the human caravan through those tunnels where they would have been safe and sound.
We can only pray that that is exactly what happened, that a significant number of people were able to be evacuated from those buildings. But as Bruce said, there was a minimum of 10,000 people in those buildings this morning when those two airplanes crashed.
10,000 each tower.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and they hit right about 9 o'clock when everybody would have been showing up for
one
work.
One at 8:40 and one, I guess, at 9:03.
Right.
And they're off now. Four planes that we know of that were hijacked.
That's true. Two United, two American.
Right. But what I'm not clear on is the two United flights. We know
one crashed in Pennsylvania. We have a confirmation here. This is all we have from Associated Press. United Airlines confirming a second plane crash. They don't say where.
Now, that could be that last one that's not identified was the Pentagon plane. We
possibly
have not heard what that plane was. So if we know that we have two Uniteds and two Americans, and all of them are accounted for, but one of the Uniteds, we can only assume one of them might have been the one at the Pentagon.
Now, originally, we heard from our ABC National Television broadcast, Peter Jennings was implying there may have been an explosion at the Capitol building. We know there may have been a car bomb go off outside of the one of the official office buildings, the Department of Defense, but we haven't really heard any further updates. Most of the focus and concentration has been the blast that took place at the Pentagon as a result of the plane crashing into it.
And, of course, the President of the United States was in Saratoga, Florida. He did give a brief announcement within minutes of this, and then we assume that he got on Air Force One. We did see Air Force One taking off from Saratoga, and we don't know at that time whether that means he was flying back to Washington or if he was going into a defense mode.
The network reported maybe a half hour or so ago that their information was that he was headed back to Washington, along with Colin Powell, who was coming back from South America, where he was on a trip down there. Interestingly enough, though, I've just been handed sort of a list of what's going on in various states as we here in New York deal directly with this tragedy today. To show you, America has virtually come to a standstill. Our airplane system is shut down and has been since early this morning and will be until further notice. Walt Disney World, for example, has been shut down and evacuated. You go state by state by state, and you have similar things that are the nuclear weapons plants and things like that have been brought to heightened states of emergency. My guess is that our military around the world has been elevated to ready status, almost right to the top.
I'd have to ask the question if any of this has happened to this country since something perhaps in World War II.
No, I there's nothing that even comes close to this, and you could argue that even Pearl Harbor wasn't quite as a direct surprise, because at least back in World War II in the 1940s, we knew the Japanese were angry with us. We knew things, obviously,
and
in Europe.
It was an island in the Pacific.
Exactly.
And it was a military installation.
This is virtually the
Pacific
entire United States that has been brought under siege by whomever did this today.
Well, we just had an alert in Japan. All our military bases were put on alert 3 days ago, expecting a terrorist attack. And then that's the last we heard of it. But right now, I understand we have on Sean Hannity, who's joining us. Sean will be with us momentarily. But as I mentioned, Sean, are you there?
Yeah, Curtis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Where are you, Sean?
Right now.
You don't need to give an exact location.
Yeah, right. I'm still on Long Island. I'm at the studios of WLIR in New York. All traffic, as you guys have been reporting all morning, in and out of the city is absolutely, shut off and shut down, and the tunnels and the bridges and everything else is closed down. You know, I got to tell you, I'm in Garden City, which is quite a long shot, 40-minute drive from New York. From the windows of this studio in WLIR, you see the black smoke unlike anything that I've ever seen in my life. And for those that are driving that perhaps haven't had a chance to be near a television, how many times have we all flown around New York City about to land at LaGuardia Airport, and the one thing everybody wants to look at is the island of Manhattan, and there are these two towering buildings, or those of us that have gone to the World Trade Center, and up we go, only to see that these buildings are now gone. It is just a horrifying sight. And I know, Curtis, you and Ron have been talking about it this morning. We don't know who did this yet, but whoever did do this and is responsible has declared war, as far as I am concerned, on the United States, and it will take everything that we have to make sure that we get them and bring them to the justice that they deserve.
Well, Sean, now I understand you'll continue with your broadcast out at WLIR today. They're kind enough to allow us to use their facilities, since you nor anyone else can get anywhere near Manhattan, and we're not urging anyone to even try to come towards Manhattan.
Here, stay here. Those of you who are not here, don't come.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obvious, and, you know, the sad tragedy is, and I know the mayor was out there talking about this, and the people that are in the city, you know, it's always the case, Curtis, Ron, you both agree with me, that, you know, horrible situations oftentimes bring the best out of people, and already you hear these heroic stories of people doing everything that they can do to help these other people that are in trouble, and which is all good to hear, but I shudder to think of the casualties and the injuries and the horror that took place when this is all when we get to the bottom line here.
Well, now, when did you find out about this, Sean? Because obviously you were with your family, your new children. In terms of living as an American, this is the average everyday American lifestyle that you're involved in.
I tell you exactly what happened, Curtis. Today was my son's first day of preschool. Mm. So at about 8:45 this morning, I'm in the car, and my beeper's going off like crazy. My cell phone's going off like crazy, and I don't even talk to people. I say, I'll call you back. And then, you know, I get in the car, and I finally got one call that got through to me, and they start describing it. And I said, this is not possible. And we've been through this at the World Trade Center. We've been through this in Oklahoma City in the past. And we have discussed and we have debated how many times we had Harvey Kushner on WABC warning people that the U.S. would be vulnerable to such an attack, or Colonel David Hackworth, who we have spoken with on multiple occasions. And it is all I can say is our thoughts and prayers go out to the families. All of us probably know somebody that was in the World Trade Center today.
And also, Sean, for all of us who travel regularly, how we moan and groan and complain about any security procedures that are taken that might delay our flights, or the extra precautions that are taken. If, in fact, all of these planes were hijacked, it indicates that we were getting loose our standards of restrictive behavior.
Get comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they obviously saw a weakness in this pattern and took full advantage of it.
Gentlemen, just as I speculated, the U.S. military is now reported to be at the threat level that would be reached if the President of the United States declared war. The Fox News folks are reporting that the Air Combat Command in Norfolk, Virginia is now at threat condition Delta, which is the highest threat level in the military.
Although, Johnny, it does raise the question that you'd raised earlier, which is, given the fact that at least two airplanes had been reported hijacked before the crash, maybe as many as four, you wondered when the folks at the FAA or the people in charge of tracking, when the folks in the United States military recognized that there might be some sort of extraordinary
situation. A joint terrorist attack.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they could have done anything to stop it at that point.
But anyone who's taken a shuttle flight from Boston to Washington to New York, you go right up and you come right down. It's such a short flight. it would almost be impossible unless they knew for sure that there was an intended target that the U.S. military could do anything.
Hey, Curtis, I think you do raise a good point, and I know in the days and weeks and months to come, we'll be analyzing how this could happen. But if this is a case where two or three United States Airlines planes were hijacked at the same time, how did that happen? And how did all the different security precautions that we have in place all seem to break down at once? It's certainly something that's got to be examined and a question that must be asked.
Well, it makes us all question air travel from now on. Because we don't know.
Right, or air travel or being in public buildings.
I mean, what are we going to do here in Manhattan? We just lost the World Trade Center. What else are they going to hit? Right.
Well, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I can tell you all right now, this day will go down as a day that will have dramatically altered life as we know it in America. Things will never be the same. Because heretofore, with just a couple of exceptions, we have not been the target of this type of terror, but clearly we have been targeted today in a way that is unprecedented, and I think it will alter the way we do a lot of things.
Well, I would say stop complaining whenever we have to go through these security precautions, because
Hey, Sean,
it's for the best interest of everyone.
Thank you, Sean. We'll be talking to you again later, and we'll
get
you
at 3
o'clock.
Take care,
thank
Sean.
You very much. Glad to hear your voice. We're going to break now for this live update from ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
This is the second Pearl Harbor. That from Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. This attack on the United States apparently by terrorists who hijacked planes that were crashed into buildings. New York City's World Trade Center is gone. Both towers collapsed after jetliners slammed into each tower about 18 minutes apart. American Airlines confirms that one of its planes was hijacked and crashed into one of the towers, that another one of its planes has crashed, and United says two of its planes are involved. One crashed near Pittsburgh, no word on the other, and a plane, not sure which, has crashed into the Pentagon, partially collapsing that building. Richard Rivera was near the Twin Towers in New York City.
It was the worst thing I ever seen in my life. There was this girl that had a big hole in her leg. She was bleeding. Would you try to help her? We took her down. The cops took her and took her to Pace Hospital.
ABC's Pam Coulter is in Washington, D.C.
All federal office buildings have been evacuated. All museums and monuments in the nation's capital are now closed. The three major airports in the region have shut down, and there is transportation gridlock downtown after thousands of employees were told to go home. Parents of D.C. school children have been urged to pick up their children, and additional security was sent to schools near government buildings.
ABC's Pam Coulter. Much of the U.S. is in shutdown mode. All airlines grounded. New York City shut down. All buildings and tunnels closed. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
This is Bruce Anderson. The World Trade Center's twin towers have been brought down in a pair of terrorist attacks. New York's mayor says there could be a horrendous number of people dead. Both towers house about 10,000 employees. When they're full, and they would have been around 9 o'clock this morning, planes were flown into the towers this morning, causing the towers to collapse in a shower of dust and rubble. Tens of thousands of people, as we mentioned, worked in those buildings. Both of those planes were hijacked American Airlines planes. Also, United Airlines reporting two of their planes were hijacked today. One crashed in Pennsylvania, not far from Pittsburgh. The second plane, United is not saying where it crashed, but it could have been the one that hit the Pentagon also this morning. Now, let's check on some local situations here and the traffic and subways and all of that. Here is Debbie Duhaime. Debbie?
Thank you very much, Bruce. And here's the new information that we have. Of course, you still want to avoid the whole area where the Twin Towers are. Tons of emergency vehicles in the area. They're the only ones allowed into that area as well. New York Waterway ferries, okay, into New Jersey. This is the only way right now from Pier 11 to New Jersey and West 30th Street. That is open. They are the only ferries into New Jersey right now. Again, that's Pier 11, West 30th Street into New Jersey. Other than that, the Lincoln, Holland, and George still closed, New Jersey and New York bound right now. Now, if you're trying to get into Queens, the 59th Street Bridge has been reopened, so that should help you out just a bit. The Queens Midtown Tunnel has been reopened as as well. So if you're heading into Queens, that's the way to do it, 59th Street Bridge or the Queens Midtown Tunnel. No LIRR service into the city. However, if you're heading the other way from Brooklyn, the LIRR operating from Flatbush Avenue and also from Queens, from Woodside Avenue and Hunts Point Avenue, service is running eastbound on the LIRR. You still have the Throgs Neck, Whitestone, and Triborough bridges in the process of being reopened, but right now they're still shut down. As you head into the city, Queensbound, things are moving a little bit better now. But again, you still have all the area airports shut down, and it's just really, really a tough day. I'm Debbie Duhaime on 77 WABC.
Stay tuned for continuous coverage here on WABC Radio. Also, ABC Television will be taking part of their feed, as well as Channel 7 Television here in New York, and also WABC Radio.
Canada. Earlier this morning, Yasser Arafat reacted to this coordinated attack. We have a tape. We do not have that tape. Instead, we're going to go to David Ushery back in the newsroom, who has an update on some of the closures in Manhattan. David?
And actually, Bill, we have updated information from United Airlines on how else this tragedy continues to hit our area. United Airlines now, and this is by way of ABC News' Lisa Stark, who is their aviation correspondent and well-versed in these areas. Hearing from United Airlines, Flight 93, it was a 757 leaving from Newark, headed to San Francisco. It took off at 8 this morning. It crashed near Pittsburgh, and we may have heard reports about that. United Airlines confirming that now. 38 passengers, 7 crew members. Also, United Airlines flight 175 left from Boston, headed to LAX. It took off at 7:58, just before 8 o'clock. We don't know, United Airlines says, the location of that crash. That possibly was the Pentagon plane, but that has not been confirmed, but they know that plane went down. 56 passengers and a crew of 9. So this is words now coming from United Airlines. David, and we're going to take you back.
Are they all evacuated and locked down?
UN's evacuated. The tunnels have been closed. The George Washington Bridge is open under security for emergency services coming in and people going out. We've shut down most of the mass transit. Grand Central is open under very tight security, but people who pass through the security have limited service to the northern suburbs, and we're doing the same thing on Long Island. But the important thing now is to provide as much help as quickly and as effectively to those whose lives are at risk or those who've been injured, and we're working with the city and federal officials to make sure that happens.
Do you believe that New York City is now under control?
New York City has been under attack, and until we get through this, we just have to continue to respond as strongly as we can.
And are you in a profile now? Are you in a position where you actually think there's a potential for more?
We just don't know. That's why we have to not only help those who have been injured, but also take every security step we can to try to prevent further incidents. We just don't know, Peter.
Okay. Governor Pataki, thank you very much. Governor George Pataki of New York.
You are listening to ABC News anchor Peter Jennings interviewing New York Governor George Pataki there.
On the line right now, we have Mary Young. She is affiliated with a company called AON, and I believe it's AON Nancy, located in the World Trade Center. First of all, Ms. Young, are you on the line right now?
Yes.
Tell us what you saw. Tell us what you heard.
Hey, I'm actually in the Greenwich office, and we occupy floors 80 through 105, give or take one or two floors. We have about 1,000 employees, and I know that once people heard the explosion in World Trade Center 1, many of them left. What we want to say to the families of everyone, we think the good news is we've gotten many calls from people who have worked at AON saying that they evacuated the building immediately, and I believe they had an 18-minute window to at least get to a lower floor and then proceed to leave.
You were on floors what? What floor? You were on floors 80?
We occupy 80 through 105, give or take one or two floors in the middle.
And you definitely had people on floor 105. Have you heard from those people?
We heard from people on the 98th floor. They happen to have friends in this office, and we're hearing from our New Jersey office, and we are hearing that the evacuation was done pretty fast and pretty well, and after seeing what went on at number one, people didn't think this was a fire drill. They pretty much left. What we do have a problem, we do have a lot of families that don't know if their loved ones are okay because of all the circuits busy, and there may be a few that may not have gotten out. So what we're asking is anyone who's an AON employee to please call 203-863-6380 and follow the voicemail instructions. And if you're having trouble getting through, we will also call your families for you. We're manning the phones. I know one woman on the 90-something floor who got out actually was sitting and looking out her window and saw the plane go right through number one.
Miss Young, do you know of anyone who was killed or injured?
Thank God, no.
But that's not to say that there haven't been casualties.
There are a lot of MIAs right now, and that's why we're hoping with this number we can at least tell some people we've heard from your loved ones or, you know, we're still waiting to hear from them.
Okay, floors 80 through 105,
yes.
Aon Company. 1,500 workers, you're telling me?
I think it's about 1,000.
1,000 workers, and let me put that number up again.
We have 40,000 employees worldwide.
Okay, floors, I believe that should be 80, floors 80 to 105 of the World Trade Center Tower number 2, area code 203-863-6380, Metro North. Ms. Young, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Metro North, by the way, is stopped.
No,
we're just getting a report that Metro North has started limited service to get people out.
To the northern suburbs.
Because we had people here who also called in and said they have to find a place in New York because the trains were stopped.
Okay, well, we're just getting word. Good news for the New York workers. Metro North has initiated limited service. It is now the LIRR, which had initiated limited service out to Long Island from Queens and Brooklyn, that has now stopped that service. So transportation, obviously, a mess. We are going to keep you up to date on that and keep you apprised.
But right now, we're going to go to Anthony Johnson because he has a late update for us. Anthony.
Getting Anthony there.
He's coming.
We lost Anthony Johnson. You're looking at...
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
And at 12:30, we'll be expecting an update on the half hour from our ABC National Radio News Desk. We also have in studio, we'll be talking to him after the update, Mr. Bob Krause, who is in the South Tower on the 84th floor, working as so many others were this day when the airplane crashed into the building, and he'll be able to explain how the escapes took place and the emergency services that took place. But first, let's go to our National ABC Radio News Desk for an update.
A member of Congress calls it the worst attack on this country since Pearl Harbor. Terrorists have caused death and destruction in New York City and Washington, D.C. Two American Airlines jets were hijacked and crashed into both World Trade Center towers. Tremendous explosions.
Everybody was on top of each other trying to come down, and then somebody finally calmed the crowd down to get them to come down the stairs in an orderly fashion and get them out of the building.
Then a spectacle of horror as both twin towers collapsed. 110-story tall towers, Manhattan landmarks, crumbled to the ground. Uncertain how many people died. Then another plane crashed into the Pentagon in Washington. A number of fatalities there. And a United jet bound for San Francisco, flight 93 from Newark, crashed in southeastern Pennsylvania. All flights throughout the country are now grounded. There's word that around 50 planes are in the air right now. All are okay and close to their destinations. As for President Bush, let's go live to ABC's Bill Greenwood in Washington. Bill.
Doug, the president was preparing to speak on education in Florida when the attacks began and immediately left for the Washington area, but he did not come to the Capitol. Secret Service sources say the president has been sequestered at a safe, secret location. It's not confirmed, but he might well be at the famous underground Mount Weather site in nearby West Virginia. It was built during the Cold War to protect U.S. leaders in the event of a nuclear attack. Doug?
Thanks, Bill. New York City is in shock. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt, Manhattan.
All of New York is evacuating, it seems, and people are wandering the streets here with shocked expressions on their faces. A lot of buildings, offices have let people out. There are long lines of people waiting for payphones. I'm talking on one right now, and there are lots of people behind me. Cell phones simply don't work here. There are people who are some crying. Some people are going into churches. A lot of people just trying to get home. The subways are shut down. The buses aren't running. General chaos here in New York and general shock over what has happened.
ABC's Bob Schmidt, Manhattan. The U.S. military is on the alert. That includes NORAD. World leaders condemning today's terrorist attacks on the U.S. Wall Street's closed, and all Major League Baseball games have been canceled today. I'm Doug Limerick, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
12:33, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa here as we continue with our round-the-clock coverage. And Phil Boyce, who has joined us, along with Ron Kuby, Bruce Anderson, John Gamling. We've been joined by Mr. Bob Krause, who actually, Bob, you were working in the South Tower of the World Trade Center this morning. What was that, up on the 84th floor when that first plane crash took place?
Right. We were on the 84th floor. And we heard an explosion, but we were in the South Tower, and we looked out the window, and there was a tremendous amount of debris flying all over the place. It looked like a ticker tape parade 1,000 times with the amount of paper going down.
At that point, did you, in fact, know what had taken place?
Absolutely not. Had no idea what we... When I was near the window, we looked up, and we saw white smoke, so we assumed that there was some type of an explosion above us, thinking that it was our tower, but... Since I was in that explosion as well as everybody else in my office and from 93, we didn't want to wait around, so we just picked ourselves up and left.
Was that true of everyone in the building and in the second tower? Is you could see where they were all making for the exits after the first one?
I would like to think so. I mean, there are a number of different stairwells. I would say 3, 4, I would guess. Ours was orderly. And, you know, everybody was going down nicely, and we were all talking, and, you know, some people had to stop and take an extra breath, and some people were passing water bottles around, and everything was very smooth. But then we got to the 44th floor, which is a main lobby, and that's where the stairwell came out, and there was a man with a bullhorn, and there had to be a good couple of hundred people there, maybe 300-400 people, all milling around trying to figure out, okay, where's the next stairwell? And this guy with the bullhorn was basically saying, everything, you know, you're going to be your worst enemy. If you're going to start getting upset, remain calm, so forth and so on. And within a minute, there was another major blast, and this time our building shook, and glass and debris started falling all over the place. Well, created a slight stampede where people started running. People just dropped to the floor, crying, hysterical, you know, and fortunately, as I said, we found out, filtered our way to a couple more stairwells, and we just kept on going down and down and down. Talking and relaxing, and I shouldn't say relaxing, but a little bit nervous, but basically feeling secure. And as we got out, you know, there were tons and tons of emergency people guiding us and helping us and whatever else. As a matter of fact, when I had come out, I didn't come out on the ground floor, but I came out on the first promenade where... It is level to the center courtyard with the big fountain, I guess I could say used to be. And there was tons of debris where I would assume were probably the wings of the first plane that just came down and, you know, broke into tons and tons of little pieces because the fuselage, the way it looked, was the only thing that went into the building. When I got out, I looked up. I was a good maybe 6 or 8 blocks away. I looked up and I noticed that my tower, the tower that I had was in, was on fire as well. And what we had heard also, I have to backtrack a little bit. When we were going down the stairwells, many people had cell phones. Many people had beepers where you can read news reports. And we heard that it was a plane that crashed into number one. So we were kind of alert of what was going on, but not realize. Someone said it was a 737, which we realized is a huge plane. We're saying on a clear day, how could that happen? We weren't even thinking of terrorism. And as I said, when I came down on the ground floor and I looked up at our building and I saw it was on fire, and I overheard someone say it was a terrorist attack and the second plane, and that's when I found out. And of course, I viewed this horrific sight in the other studio a few minutes ago with the second plane going into the building that I was in. And if I didn't leave, I would say 10 minutes, if I hung around for 10 more minutes, I would have been above that 44th floor and may not be here.
Bob, I'm curious, how long from the time you exited the building to the collapse of the building?
It probably took, again, I'm just going to guess, because I never really looked at my watch. That wasn't a time thing, wasn't on my mind. But it probably took us a good 30 to 40 minutes to get out of the building with, and then walking. Actually, I even waited about 15 minutes to use a payphone because no cell phones were being, you know, able to be used. And then I was walking another few blocks. So I would guess that, I mean, the first building that went down was the building I was in. Is that correct?
That is correct.
South Tower.
And that was at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. I would say that it probably was like 45, because it was somewhere around 9 o'clock.
So it was about 40 minutes from the time you exited the building to the time of its collapse?
I believe
approximately.
So. I'm going to guess.
My question, the reason I'm asking the question is to figure out how many people could have been evacuated before the building crashed.
Well, my building, again, when I was there the first, 1993, when it exploded, they didn't have an intercom system, and nobody knew what happened. I don't think anybody really knew what happened at that point in time. People thought it was Transformers. Someone thought it was a small plane. But I think it was like the next day that we realized that it was a terrorist attack. But no one even warned us to get out of the building. My boss, may he rest in peace, basically just said, everybody grab your coats and get out of here. And we just did that. He didn't want to hesitate. And this time, we all looked at each other and really didn't hesitate. We all just said, bye.
But Mr. Krause, this is Bob Krause, who was up on the 84th floor of the South Tower when the airplane first crashed into the World Trade Center, followed up by the second plane crash. Could you tell if there were a lot of people behind you on the stairwells coming down? I mean, you said it was in orderly fashion. But do you know? Because you're on the 84th floor. It's 110 stories.
Right.
That means there's close to 36-odd stories, almost left, 26-odd stories left to go.
There was definitely a rush of people. But the funny thing, I can't say funny thing, but I was noticing that as we were going down the steps, where normally you would expect every stairwell door to be opened for those people to get out of the lower floors. If I was on 84, by the time I got to 80, you would figure that you would see a door or two open up. I didn't see any of those doors open up, so they must have either taken different stairwells or something. But if you think about the sad portion of it, there were 30 floors above in the first tower that those people could not get out.
Now, Bob, was there smoke in your building at this time? Or?
No. No. We smelled
like a
little.
The plane hit the building you were not in, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You heard the smash, and then you got the hell out of there.
Yes.
Bob, it's a fascinating and harrowing story. Could you stay with us for a few minutes?
I can stay.
Yeah, we've got a few more questions.
Unfortunately, I can't go home.
You have
home
no
right
place
now.
To go, so you're welcome to stay here. We've got sandwiches in the other room. But I do want to go to John Nance, the ABC News. John, excuse me, but are you the airline expert for ABC?
Well, more than that, John, just the aviation analyst.
There you go. What can you tell us about the hijackings today?
Well, I wish I could tell you anything substantive. We do know this, and that is that whatever they did, they probably replicated at least five times, and they blew past all existing security, which is not surprising for a very well-coordinated group. This is a monstrously well-coordinated attack. I can also tell you, and this is nothing in the world but John Nance talking as a veteran airline pilot. There are 29,000 of us airline pilots in the United States, and I don't think any one of them was involved in this unless we had a turncoat in the group. They had their own pilots. No pilot, even at gunpoint, is going to fly an airplane into the World Trade Center or into the Pentagon. You just go ahead and tell them to pull the trigger. It's not going to happen.
John Nance, if you could just tell me something about the security procedures that would be followed when a plane is hijacked and it's diverted from its course. What notifications are made on the ground?
Well, first of all, we've got to know for sure we've got a hijacking, and there's a special code that the crew sometimes can get in. I doubt there was a live pilot up there to do that in this case, so I imagine that the confusion was pretty high. I imagine that what happened was a certain radio blackout. I'm speculating, you understand, because we don't have any of these early facts yet, but certainly the aircraft is going to be monitored by air traffic control. Even if they turn off the transponder, which is the little device that beeps back at the radar scope every time the radar beam passes the airplane and gives specific information to it, like altitude and heading and airspeed and identification. Even if they turn that off in the cockpit, you're still going to have what we call a skin paint. So air traffic control is going to be able to still follow the progress of that flight, even though nobody may be talking to them. What they would not have been able to do is predict what in the world was the intention of anybody in that aircraft, flying that aircraft, if they weren't talking. And I'm sure that if we can recover the data recorders, the flight data recorder especially, of the two airplanes that were flown into the Trade Center, and that's in that monstrous, horrible mess that's going to be a long time in coming, we're going to have some answers there, and then maybe the one in the Pentagon will be a little easier to ascertain. But the question was, how did they blow past our security? We don't know, but we've got to find that out, and I mean very rapidly.
Well, they also, John, this is John Gambling, they also would have had it blown through the door into the cockpit as well, correct?
You would assume that they would have to. There are ways, I suppose, that you could entice a crew. Well, there are ways, and I'm not going to talk about how, but the basic idea is we cannot harden up these airplanes and put a bank vault door up there. It just can't happen. Consequently, a determined terrorist, especially one who's suicidal, which is obviously the case here, can manage just about anything that they want to.
John, how easy would it be for three or four guys with guns to blow past the airport security checkpoint station, run down the end of the concourse, and jump on the first plane that they saw was loaded?
Unfortunately, very easy. If it was a coordinated attack. The problem is that we've got so many flights involved here that it's hard to believe that that could have happened without there have been an opportunity to block the takeoff of at least one of them. So I would tend to think, and again, this is just complete speculation. I have no facts on this whatsoever, but I would tend to think that it was only after the airplanes were off the ground that the takeovers occurred. However, of course, one of the big ticking questions here is how in the world were weapons brought on those airplanes?
All right, at 12:44, we're talking to John Nance. He's our ABC News aviation expert. John, a number of people have come to the conclusion that the World Trade Center was built originally by Nelson Rockefeller to withstand an aviation crash, because we've had our own Empire State Building survive a crash of a B-25 Mitchell bomber, and we didn't see this kind of damage. Is it conceivable that plastic explosives might have been brought on board onto that airliner to actually heighten the amount of damage, to increase the amount of damage done once those airplanes crashed into their intended target?
It is conceivable, considering the fact that we have an inconceivable occurrence here of a takeover of these airplanes, five different flights, then any additional aspect is definitely conceivable. However, those aircraft would have been loaded, were loaded, with a lot of jet fuel, and even though that's not explosive, your best chance on bringing the building down, and they obviously succeeded, is to create not only impact damage, but also to create a hot enough fire to melt the rest of the structure, to melt the structural members to where it will implode on itself, which is essentially what happened.
John?
Whether or not, well, I'll put it this way, the sophistication of this attack is one that you can almost take to the bank. There were structural people involved in trying to make the decision on precisely how to do the most damage.
John, we understand the President of the United States and Air Force One has landed in Louisiana at an Air Force base there, and that he is going to address the nation again at some point, probably within the next hour. We also understand that the FBI is going to address the nation within the next hour. We will, of course, cover both of those here on WABC. But just a quick question for you, John Nance, the aviation expert for ABC News. What are we going to do at our airports now? They're all closed down across the country. When do we think they might reopen?
Well, you're not talking to somebody who's an authority here, but as a member of the system, I can tell you that I would not personally want to see any other jetliner take off for a while until we have a very clear picture of precisely how these airplanes were commandeered.
Back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, when there was a rash of airline hijackings to Cuba, we started a Sky Marshal program, and we actually had Sky Marshals on every flight that was deemed to be at risk. Is there any sense that that's a worthwhile program worth bringing back now? I mean, we have to fly.
We had a previous associate administrator of the FAA who tended to use the Sky Marshal program as their personal police for misbehaving employees, and that was a tragedy. For the most part, the Sky Marshals are a fine force of people, but they can't be everywhere. And I doubt seriously that an individual, well-armed, well-trained, sitting on an airplane, even in this situation, would have been any match for the coordination and the preparation that was obviously at play.
John, this is Bruce Anderson. When you say the you don't want to see a jetliner take off for a while, are you talking hours or days or what?
Bruce, I honestly don't know. I just know that whether or not this is really over is something that's going to take a little some hours to determine. And we can't drop our guard any more than it's already been dropped. But certainly, putting all the air traffic in the United States and Canada on the ground is a pretty good beginning. I would say we first of all have to have a pretty clear picture of how these people got on board those airplanes and commandeered them. If we can get that picture, we can harden the system almost immediately to that particular methodology, because that methodology, you can be sure, was very well thought out and very well planned, and won't be one of three or four that are sitting out there ticking away.
Now, John Nance, we see that when you take an international flight, they have special scanning devices to try to vet out the weapons, the plastic explosives, etc. These were all domestic flights that were hijacked. Is that same technology put into place, or is the technology available not quite able to detect those kinds of explosives and items?
Well, the sad truth is this. Even if we had enough machines and enough people to operate them, it would be virtually impossible to run an airline system if every single bag were scanned. One of the problems is you don't have skilled operators. Some of the machines, the machines are there, but you've got to have very skilled operators who know what to do with them. These are spot checks only, and to harden the system to where it simply can't occur, not unless we want to operate like El Al as a nation, and that means at best 20% of the air traffic we now have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate your input. That's John Nance, our ABC News aviation expert. We'll continue to give you status updates from our ABC National News desk. And, in fact, we'll soon go to John McClassen of the Washington Times. He's actually on the 14th Street Bridge on the Potomac overlooking the damage that has been done to the Pentagon.
Yeah, we'll go to him after we take our next ABC News status report. But the thing that John raises is a great question, which is, what do we do now? Because as you pointed out, Ron, we have to fly. I mean, do we put armed guards at the security checkpoints now and stand there with their guns at the ready in case another one of these happens?
Well, I would be all for that.
Well, if you travel around the world, you go to places like Korea and you go to Japan, yes. And if you go to Bahrain, if you go to some of these other airports around the world, that's exactly what...
Right, but they don't have anywhere near the type of airline traffic.
No.
These were like commuter flights. Curious is right. You get white guys in business suits who regularly go by the hundreds on these flights every single day. They all sort of look alike. There's no heightened security. There's no sense that a flight from Boston to Washington is going to be at risk.
All right. We'll come back to your point, Ron, and everyone else here, Phil and John Gamling and Bruce Anderson, but now an ABC status report.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
President Bush says the military is on high alert. He made the comments not long ago at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana in response to what can only be described as a mind-boggling series of terrorist attacks against two of the nation's busiest cities. It started in New York. The World Trade Center, struck by two jets, one of them an American Airlines flight from Boston to L.A. that was hijacked. This woman works in the building.
Everybody was on top of each other trying to come down, and then somebody finally calmed the crowd down to get them to come down the stairs in an orderly fashion and get them out of the building.
Washington was next. The Pentagon was hit.
The Pentagon side by the heliport is badly charred. It appears the plane, a small plane, came in at a very low level of attack heading north. It clipped several light poles on the way in.
That's ABC's John McQuethy at the Pentagon. There is no claim of responsibility yet. The number of casualties, not known. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
12:51 as we rejoin our live coverage. And, gentlemen, let's go to John McCaslin, Washington Times correspondent, who I believe, John, you're located right near the 14th Street Bridge overlooking the Potomac next to the Pentagon?
Actually, I am safely home. I was on the 14th Street Bridge, which is right next to the Pentagon, when the plane went into it. Apparently, it was an American Airlines plane. I was on my way into work, and the eerie thing about it, I was stuck in the usual Washington traffic next to National Airport on the approach to the 14th Street Bridge, and I have a sunroof. The guy in front of me had a convertible, and an Air West plane took off from National, and if you've been in Washington, you know they fly over the George Washington Parkway, literally above your head, and for the first time, commuters that have grown accustomed to seeing such a thing, everybody looked up, because everybody was listening to the radios about the catastrophe that you guys were enduring in New York, and no sooner did we get up on the 14th Street Bridge than a plane coming in the opposite direction slammed into the Pentagon. I did a quick U-turn and was one of the first people on the scene of the Pentagon. And to tell you to have the top military power in the world rushing out of the Pentagon, those that could get out, was a sight to behold, because they were literally powerless. And then the casualties started being brought out, and then the city was just in total chaos, as you know, like in New York, people trying to get out of town. And it's something that they've feared for a long time. We've been preparing for it for a long time with disaster drills, even up on Capitol Hill. And I can tell you now, people that have gotten home are going to stay there. I immediately, after leaving the Pentagon, I drove an Air Force lieutenant to my daughter's school, where I picked up my daughter. They were being held downstairs in the basement of the school, which is on the approach to National Airport, literally one block from the Potomac River, upon word that there was an airplane that was circling Dulles. So it's just been a catastrophic day felt by so many people from New York to Washington, and I've never seen this city in the state that it is now.
John, can you explain how part of the Pentagon building collapsed?
Yeah, it's basically it's an airplane coming in. I have flown out of the heliport there with President Reagan many times when I covered Reagan at the White House, and the pool reporters take off from the helipad at the Pentagon when we follow Marine One, the president's chopper, and that airplane flew exactly over that helipad. I don't think purposely. I think its target was anywhere it could reach the Pentagon, and slammed into the E-wall of the Pentagon. The E-wall is the outer ring. As you know, there's five rings inside the Pentagon. It was just a matter of force, a matter of burning. I was there well before any fire trucks even got there, so there was a good opportunity for it to keep burning like there was up in New York, and just a matter of weight and structural damage, and it came down, and of course the fire has spread into every ring all the way into the A-ring.
Now, John McCaslin of the Washington Times, columnist there, was at the scene when this plane crashed into the Pentagon. Years ago, during the Clinton administration, we heard of that event where the Cessna plane coming out of Maryland had tried to crash, at least it intended on crashing into the White House. And we were told there were all kinds of security precautions. There were hidden weaponry. There was hidden detectors. And we were told that that also existed at other federal buildings. And I would assume, first and foremost, the Pentagon. Were there any procedures that took place, or did the plane, as far as you could see, go in just totally unaffected by any defense mechanism?
It was coming in the opposite direction of the planes taking off, which is a sign that there was a problem, because the planes take off north and south here depending on the wind. The planes were taking off this morning to the north. This one approached it from another angle, the direction that the planes were taking off. So you knew that it was, one witness said it was an American airline plane. I can't corroborate that. I know American is missing two planes and United is missing two planes. So it's pretty factual that that might be the case. Whether the procedures were in place, I don't know. We've all written stories here about the heat-seeking missiles, shoulder-fired missiles that the Secret Service have at the ready at the roof of the White House to prevent anything like this from happening. And I can assure you, as you guys saw in your prompters, that the Secret Service was definitely on top of the situation at the White House. But things were striking so fast from New York to Washington, and then word out of southwest of Pittsburgh that everybody was in a lockdown situation, with their eyes upward, especially with word here that there were still planes that were out there unaccounted for.
And now, how much actual structural damage has been done to the Pentagon? Because even though it's not a vertical building like the World Trade Center, which could conceivably, as it did, implode on itself, as it's been described, just horrific damage and possibly horrific loss of life.
Exactly. I would say that judging from the outside E-perimeter wall, it looks like about a probably at least 100-foot gap. And you can look right now darn near into the center of the courtyard.
You know, Curtis, I hear John describe that, and it just seems like a horrific amount of power to have taken out that chunk of building. And again, I speculate back to what we've been talking about most of the morning. Was there any additional explosive force carried on these airplanes in one form or another?
Well, as you know, I was listening to your aviation expert from ABC before I came on, and you know, these planes all just took off, so they were all heavily loaded with fuel. And there was another point. I was standing there right on the outside of the Pentagon when another explosion took place. Now, whether that was anything that was still in the airline or not, I don't know. It could have been a gas explosion. It was that second explosion that sent us all scurrying because we realized that, we could still be in for some trouble here.
But in terms of what you saw, you didn't see any military interception, any U.S. fighter aircraft?
For the first time in my life, I grew up in this city. I've been here for 43 years. For the first time in my life, immediately after the explosion, I would say within 15 minutes before the fire department even got there, we had an Air Force, what looked to be like an Air Force jet, fly right over the nation's capital. You never see that here, even during an air show.
Well, we have that here in New York, and it continues. F-14s are circling over Manhattan on a regular basis now. I wonder, maybe they were just scrambled because of what had taken place in New York, and they were just as precautions already up and over Washington, D.C. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
We have Andrews Air Force Base right on the perimeter, Bowling Air Force Base, which also obviously some intelligence going on there. So both cities obviously are well protected. And I tell you, I think this caught everybody by surprise. Everybody down here is talking about it being September 11th, 911, in an emergency situation it is.
Now, John McCaslin of the Washington Times, we were told earlier in broadcasts that a car bomb may have gone off in front of the department, the State Department.
Right.
And that there may have been an explosion at the Capitol. Haven't heard much about that since.
Can State Department, according to my sources, the State Department explosion did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the U.S. Capitol, I've heard nothing about that. You cannot go into Washington right now. I'm going to write my column out of Alexandria across the Potomac River, which I might point out is full of smoke like New York City. It's blown this far south. I'm probably 6 miles south of the Pentagon right now, and just an awful aroma in the air, and the place is like a ghost town. There are families I know that are heading to Bethany Beach, Delaware, just to get out of this area. There's people were talking about the concern for anthrax and other things, and of course, this is where I think it's important that everybody stay calm right now, and let's let the government get out and say something, because they haven't said much. I understand from you people that Bush will be out in Louisiana shortly.
That's true. And do you have any casualty count at this point?
I went by people at the Pentagon that were literally being carried out. There were no ambulances anywhere at that point. By the time I left, probably 1 hour later, the fire trucks were still coming in from surrounding jurisdictions and ambulances. But there was a lot of time passing that the casualties, that the injured people, and I shouldn't say casualties, but with regard to the injured casualties, there just really was little attention being paid to them at that moment. And a lot of these people in military uniform. It was quite a sight to behold for those of us.
John McCaslin, I appreciate your thoroughness of a report, but hang on, we'll come back to you later. But first...